The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is brought to you by FanDuel. It's never been easier to play fantasy on FanDuel. Whether you love basketball, golf, soccer, or any other fantasy sport, there's a contest for every fan. FanDuel, more ways to win. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It's Monday, August 16th. And we've got a potpourri episode of some random shit to talk about today.
A cornucopia.
As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends, LeJethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's up, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody, how's it going?
And I'm Mike. Do we like potpourri? Is that good?
Oh, I'm a big fan of potpourri. It's incredible. I'm gonna be just a little potpourri. Fact. My homegirl hit me to put a little bit of that in your tree when you roll it up. So it's a refreshing experience. You know what I mean? So it's a nice little mix.
If we sound slightly tired, we're recording at the ass crack of dawn on the West Coast for our producer Jackson, because we're good people, and he asked because he's moving, and so we're trying to help him out.
Yeah.
You're welcome, bud.
Some of us would call it an untenable recording time, but others of us would not call it that. So
here we are. Look at you, Mike. Look at you.
It's Monday, so we have to talk about the Booger Boy of the Week, and my nomination is whoever designed Kyrie's signature shoes. Tyler, your thoughts?
Them shit's beefy as fuck. Look, you know you done fucking whiffed when the dude who you made the signature sneaker for makes a public statement that he does not condone the sneakers that you designed for him. Kyrie hopped on Instagram comments like, bro, like he was one of us, you know, like, bro, talking about his sneaker, like, bro, this ain't it. I do not sign off on this. I ain't never seen no shit like that, bro.
I disavow any association with this shoe that has my first name on it.
He got his publicist involved. That was a very well thought out, you know, I don't fuck with these fucking fat ass shoes, dog. No, they look like some 2009 ass fucking hooping shoes, bro. You know what I mean? Like, they're retro in the ways you don't want them to be retro. But like, yeah, he straight up said, I want no parts in this shit. Yeah. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry for my fans and my shoes. Kyrie's one of the few dudes that actually still makes good signatures. Him and KD was for a while, where you could actually wear them like off the court, maybe with sweats and it didn't look weird. You know what I mean? Yeah. But them big motherfuckers.
KD6s are an all-time.
KD6s, I was wearing them with fucking Banana Republic khakis, nigga. You know what I mean? Shoe. I'm wearing them with my J. Crew fit back in fucking whatever when they came out or whatever. But dog, I love them shits. But yeah, like, there's one of the two, and now them shits only on the court. And they still don't look good on the court. You feel me? Like, hell no, bro.
I feel like Kyrie kind of pulled back the curtain on shit. Like, do players have involvement on the design of their signatures? Like, I always assumed they did, but Kyrie seemed like he got blindsided by the debut of his new shit. So now I got questions. I don't know what the fuck goes on with signatures now.
I think they do. I think Kyrie didn't sign off, and maybe Nike was like, nah. Yeah, but that's so weird because if I'm keeping it a stack, like, I tweeted about how KD, one of the best dressed niggas, 7-footers ever on the planet. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say ever, because back in the 70s, they had some cold ass dude. But you know what I'm saying? Like, one of the best dressed 7-footers on the planet, but nobody notices because he doesn't brush his hair. Same thing with Kyrie. Everybody think Kyrie kooky. You know what I mean? They see that walking stick and they don't notice that he got that shit on. Kyrie, one of the coldest dressed, you know, he has great taste. So like, his shoes always look good. They should listen to, if anybody is listening to Kyrie for sure. You know what I mean? But
so I had a lunch with George Raveling from Nike a couple years ago, and I asked him about that with the signature shoes because I was just curious about it. And he said it's more like they would have input on what kind of shoe it is, right? Like, okay, I like this, you know, I like a retro feel or whatever. The designer would do, Nike does their thing. They bring it back to the athlete for like tweaks and a final say. So it's not like they're, maybe there's like input on color, but it's 90% the designer with sort of guidance on the front and the end from an athlete. And it sounds to me like the guidance on the end, obviously, you know, but Nike's kind of been fucking up, bro. I mean, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, if you think about it, like, I mean, they fucked up with Allyson Felix badly, mm-hmm. You know, they had the Kyrie shit. Like, it kind of feels like there's just been like tension. I mean, you saw this, like the stuff with Kobe too, right? Like, I don't know. It just seems like there's sort of
been. They call that man Stephen Curry.
Yeah, I'm saying it's Curry.
Stephen Curry.
It's been wild since Curry. You know what I mean? But I mean, didn't Jordan? He was like, I want this to look like a Ferrari. Like he seemed like he had a lot. I mean, I know he's MJ, but he had a lot of input. You know what I mean? It seemed.
I feel like yeah. Tinker Hatfield kind of had the ideas, and he ran it past Jordan, from what I understand. Of course, Jordan will give it.
And I think you're gonna mythologize that as. You know, it's his. The more they don't want it, you know, Tinker. They're not the Tinkers, right? Like they want everyone to think like, oh wow, this is MJ shoe or whatever. But I think I want it to look like a Ferrari is probably about as detailed as the, you know what I mean, as it gets. Like I want it to look cool and red. Like
I know he's not getting into the weeds of design, you know what I mean? But he's saying like, yo, this is it. This ain't it. I don't like how it feels. But I mean, like, what's wild? I mean, look at LeBron. LeBron, how good has LeBron been, right? Like, we all think he's a GOAT. How bad have his shoes been? Well, not, I don't know. Mike doesn't necessarily believe that. But, like, how bad has his shoes been? Like, when's the last time you saw LeBron and wanted them on your feet?
Yeah, it's been a minute, bro. It's, you know, it's just the gap between Jordans and all other signature shoes. It's just
Kobe's are crazy though. Kobe's are fire. Yeah.
Kobe's are the closest.
Barkley's are fire. Penny's are fire. But I mean, those are different generation, obviously.
Yeah. But them Jordans from 1 to 14, I feel like they only missed once, and that was with the twos, bro. Like those motherfuckers been 13 for 14 for 14 a 14 year span in my book.
And the low top twos actually got more popular as you know as they got older. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like them high tops though. Okay. Yeah. I think even the only Jordan that was like a mellow was the two, and I'm like, why you give him this weak ass fucking the worst silhouette?
MJ had some player editions before player editions even existed when they gave him the two.
Get that nigga the two.
MJ had Team Jordans before Team Jordans even dropped.
Right.
When he dropped the two.
I'd rather have the Team Jordans than the twos. You know what I mean? Like, the first Team Jordans were better than the twos, but yeah.
Oh man. Yeah, the first ones that dropped in like 9.
The first one was crazy, and the second one was that kind of looked like 12s. Niggas, that was too far for me. Yeah, I was off the bandwagon.
Yeah, that little
niggas still had them though.
That little swoop.
That little, you know, the squiggly little
swoop on the side was little as hell. Yeah, the swoop on the 12s was big as fuck, and the swoop on the jump man's was like
that was an 11.5, nigga. Yeah, that's exactly what they gave us, man. Them shits was weak as hell, man. But niggas was still wearing them with their Tommy overalls and whatnot. Yeah. I was like, not your boy.
That jump man, bro. That jump man logo made anything fucking cool up until a minute. We were like, okay, these Team Jordans some bullshit.
Right.
You know,
it is interesting. I mean, I'm wearing the hat that I'm wearing right now with the Long Beach logo and the Jumpman logo. Like when Poly Football was sponsored by Jumpman last year, the kids still, you see the fucking Jumpman logo on something. They like, none of these kids were born while this dude was still playing professional basketball, but like the Jumpman logo is still so significant even to like kids now. It's kind of crazy. It's hard to do that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
High school kids think Drake is fucking like 90 years old now, you know what I mean? But the Jumpman logo is like, oh shit. Like,
Jordans ain't really going as crazy as they once. I know some are, but I think like, you know, I don't see like people clamoring as much for like Jordan releases on like
it was a design thing for a long time, and now it's a status thing.
Okay, that makes sense.
You know what I mean? Now it's like, oh wow, like I mean I think you saw that like when Michigan football got sponsored too. They weren't like, oh, where our jerseys are about to look so much better. It's just we have a Jumpman logo on a football jersey. Like
And I think like, if you have like how many teams is Jordan sponsored? There's like a that, you know. We're like one of the 12 teams that, you know what I'm saying?
They've kept it pretty exclusive. Yeah.
Right.
Which is smart because that's what their remaining cachet is with it, with kids at least. You know what I mean? It's like, no one else has this.
I'd rather have a Nike sponsorship if I'm keeping it a stack though, because I mean,
knowing you getting a fucking Jumpman swag back like 2-3 times a year, that shit matters to still a lot of.
I mean, yeah, I feel you, but I think Jordan, like I said, Jordans ain't. I mean, I don't know. That may be just me. I'd rather have, I'm an Air Max ass nigga though, because I'm a 90s ass motherfucker. You feel me? But I feel like I'm not wearing anything with jeans outside of like Jordan 1s. You know what I mean? Like, I'm keeping it a stack. I'm not putting no fucking 12s on with no motherfucking jeans, bro. Like, that's not with my style. You feel me? Them shits is big now, bro. The 4s even look big to me, and I love them. Those are my favorite Jordans. And I put them on with jeans. I'm like, nigga, I gotta wear sweats with these big motherfuckers. Like, yeah, it's crazy.
Let's talk about our feel-good story of the week to get your week started right. I know Tyler feels so happy about this and fulfilled, but J.R. Smith has officially now an Aggie, NCAA, signing up to play golf. Yeah. Tyler, I mean, this is like, I feel like this story was like tailor-made for you, bro.
First of all, I want to say a big motherfucking Aggie pride and welcome to the blue and gold family, my brother. You are now an Aggie and that shit is for life. You know what I'm saying? Aggie fam forever. And I am excited as hell because J.R. Smith is the perfect dude for like A&T. He's kind of like everything A&T is. You know what I mean? My time there, I loved A&T because it was a group of just down home, you know, down to earth ass fun motherfuckers. And JR's that, you know, he might be 40. I don't think he's going to be at any fucking house parties or kickbacks or anything, but he embodies the spirit of what an Aggie is. Like when I saw that JR Smith got accepted to A&T, I was like, okay, that makes sense. That aligns with what A&T does. You know what I mean? So yeah, man, I'm very happy to have him in the fold.
You don't think JR going to pull up to the probate? see new cues come out.
He might flex on us during homecoming. You know, flexing on homecoming has no age limit. He might stun on us during that. But yeah,
I love that he's playing golf. I think that's crazy.
Yeah,
I mean, and this is the one guy that would allow y'all to talk about golf with me. Like, there's no. This is the one dude. If he does something on the course, y'all be willing to talk. So I'm excited about that. You know what I mean? Like, but J.R. Smith, I think he's gonna. Like, niggas be talking about, you know, make golf cool and all this shit, bro. Golf, the sport's cool. The sport's cool.
We're not talking about golf right now. We're talking about J.R. Smith.
I know, but look. But I'm saying, the shit surrounding it isn't. And J.R. is cool enough to make, you know what I'm saying, it, you know, palatable for people like yourselves.
I have no idea how good J.R. Smith is, but if he's granted his eligibility, because that's kind of what we're
in. Yeah, yeah.
He's making that damn team. You don't fucking cut J.R. Smith from your golf team, regardless of how terrible he is. You know,
terrible at all. He's a plus seven. That's pretty solid. I mean, and if he's playing like practicing how they'll be practicing, I mean, that handicap's gonna drop for sure.
Golf is an interesting collegiate sport too. Like, most NCAA Division I programs are college age athletes, but like, I don't know if this is the case nationwide, but I know at Long Beach City College, the junior college here, there was a year where the average age on the golf team was like 52. It was like people like that, like they were like retired and they were later in life and they were like, I want to play on a team and compete. And like, I wasn't a football player. I never used any eligibility. And like, they didn't have people clamoring to sign up for the junior college golf team at 18. So it was like, kind of just like the old homies out there, like on a team together, all wearing LBCC shit. Like, it was kind of cool. We did a story about it. It was kind of cool, bro.
That's cool. You know, I was thinking, I don't think I ever knew anyone that played golf on A&T while I was there. Funny shit is we had a women's bowling team and you knew the women bowlers whenever you saw them. Cause it was like a bunch of white girls who looked like they was off the cast of Roseanne and shit. It was like, what the fuck are you doing? Right. So we knew the woman bowlers.
Shoulders walking through the cafeteria. Yeah. Nigga.
we saw there was some woman straight out of goddamn Minnesota on A&T's black ass campus. We were like, yeah, we know what you're here for. But yeah, I don't think I ever knew anyone to play golf now that I'm thinking about it. I'm gonna have to ask the homies if anyone I know is on
that. I've never known a single collegiate golfer, like, you know what I mean? So that makes me like the fact that like it's what he might be the average age of A&T's golf team. he might be the youngest nigga on the golf team.
Most 4-year colleges, I mean, at least on the West Coast, most 4-year colleges are people who are good golfers in high school. But it is a weird sport like track and swimming where the elite 18-year-old golfers do not go to college. They're they are trying to turn professional. You know what I mean? They're not trying to go to fucking Pepperdine. Like,
golf is a sport where even if you're halfway good, you can do pro-am, you know, because everyone's so fucking terrible at it. You know what I'm saying? So.
True or false, John? Was what he just said true?
I don't know. I don't know. Shit, I just be out here playing with my little Air Max on high as fuck, nigga. You know what I mean? I don't know. I think it's extremely competitive. Like if you go to, there's like this league called it's like a Monday like play-in type thing. And so like there's dogs that try to make into the last like the last few pro spots that are like, nigga, they might shoot like -8. You know what I'm saying? Just to get in to the fucking to not make the first cut of the tour, man. The motherfucker's good and it's highly competitive. You know what I mean?
Tyler, I'm sorry. I gave him an opening. I should have just moved. I should have just moved.
Oh, I don't give a fuck about being wrong about golf. Trust me.
I want to talk about what the fuck is wrong with NBA Twitter that Jonathan Kuminga seems like a really nice person. Number 7 overall draft pick. You know, having some success in the summer. And these motherfuckers, every time this kid plays, have really got cum bucket shredding on Twitter, bro.
What happened?
We have got to eradicate that nickname. We have got to shame anyone who uses that nickname. What? We might have to call them racist. We might have to take whatever measures. But we have got to eradicate that terrible ass nickname. That shit has got to go, bro. Fuck that.
What happened? I am not familiar.
He's a basketball player who gets buckets and he has cum in his name. So cum bucket, yay. What the worst fucking nickname
ever. He actually doesn't have cum in his name either. It's Coomb. It's
Coomb, right?
Yeah.
So, yeah.
You haven't seen this, John? It ends up like top 10 trending every time he's been playing in the summer league.
Not a single time, bro. That is insane.
You got to shame motherfuckers, I'm telling you.
We
got to start calling motherfuckers racist, dog. That's what we got to do to get this out of here. This cannot exist amongst us. It can't.
Has he addressed this?
Not that I've seen.
You don't want to address the motherfuckers running with that shit.
I mean, if that shit is trending the way it is, the way Mike makes it, the way it seems, you know what I mean? Like, dog, bro.
I don't think anyone...
Get ahead of it.
I don't think these writers are bold enough in Vegas to ask that dude to his face what he thinks about that nickname. I'm sure the beat writers, someone like far enough down the ladder, will be like, this is my window. You know what I mean? When he actually gets to the bay, but
I'm saying him doing some KD shit. Like, I'm not thinking of like somebody writing a think piece about cum bucket. I don't think that is, you know, anything we want to attach ourselves to. But I'm saying him being like, yo, this is some bullshit. You know what I mean? Like, that probably sure. Just rile him up, though. That probably riled the people up that's doing this in the first place.
He hasn't tweeted.
Anyone who's calling him cum bucket is not going to be a rational, reasonable
person. Oh, you hate this? I love it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Okay. They're the people whose sweat smells like saliva. You know what I mean? Like,
he hasn't tweeted since he signed, so we'll continue to wait for the press release from Jonathan Kuminga.
Sounds like a smart kid, though. He hasn't tweeted since he signed. He got the bag, and
I hope he's staying the fuck off.
Y'all have fun. Smart.
Did you guys watch the clip I sent you of Tim Tebow's first series in with the Jaguars trying to block? Did you
take
watch
that monkey off? Shit off. You embarrassing us, nigga. You embarrassing you, nigga. It's like, bro, the game don't love you no more, nigga. Go away. You getting real weird, nigga. You out here looking real stupid. It's embarrassing, dog. What is he doing?
That was a quarterback block, bro. He went back to what he knew on that one. That was not a fucking tight end block. What the fuck was that? He blocked that man with his back upper shoulders. I ain't never seen no shit like that.
Rolled over on him, like
right.
Like he was trying to, like he was a cat trying to get his smell on him. You know what I mean? Like.
What happened to baseball? What happened to Tebow in baseball, bro?
It didn't work out. The attention was drying up. So he had to, you know what I mean?
He had to pack his bags. That's what you're saying. Baseball ain't love him either, nigga.
I mean, that's the thing about this is
start a podcast, man. It's time. You a regular nigga.
It's time to pod, bro.
It's time for the Faith Family Football Podcast featuring Tim Tebow, bro.
Right. Jeez.
As someone who
I'll be a youth group pastor, I think he'd be great at that too.
Well, I did want to talk about this for an extra second though, because a friend of mine from high school, Mercedes Lewis, who's about to go into his like 700th fucking NFL season as a blocking tight end, who literally is probably going to miss our 20th high school reunion next year because he's still going to be in the fucking NFL tight end. This is it's like a pet peeve of his, and I'm sure for all NFL tight ends that like, everyone just says tight end like, oh, this dude's an Olympic wrestler. Like, he should play tight end in the NFL. Or like, oh, this guy's he's a professional weightlifter. He should be a tight end in the NFL. Like, it's not just big fucking like dudes. You know what I mean? Like, there's actual skill at that position. You can't just be Tim Tebow rolling your shoulders across an NFL defensive end, bro.
He's
like when I saw that, my first reaction was you thought. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, you thought that, nigga, the man didn't even notice Tim Tebow there. You know what I'm saying? The man didn't even notice, the lineman didn't even notice Tim Tebow there. Tim Tebow rolled off the man because he was just, he was a small impediment. You know what I mean? Like, it was crazy. Dog, stop. Just stop.
In football, bro. You want to be, someone's always the bug and someone's always the windshield. And he was the bug.
Oh, for sure, nigga. You feel me? Speed bump. You feel me? Like, ooh. Right. Fuck out of here, man. It's embarrassing.
One of the things I love about betting my favorite sports is that I'm always finding new player props or game props that I like. And what's cool about FanDuel Sportsbook is you can combine these props with other bets from the same game to score an even bigger payout. It's called a same game parlay, and you can only find them on FanDuel. Obviously, baseball season right now, you can bet overs, unders, home runs, strikeouts, whatever you want. Obviously, college football, NFL coming up, so there's going to be a lot of action there as well. But same game parlay is just one of the reasons I bet with FanDuel. I love that it's easy to use. I love the live betting. I love that all my friends are using it because it's America's number one sports book. And I love the fast withdrawals because it boils my brisket when I have winnings with other books and it takes me forever to get them out. With FanDuel, they pay your winnings in as little as 24 hours. Just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app today to create a same game parlay and use promo code JNJ at sign up. That's J&J at sign up. New users get their first bet risk-free up to $1,000. FanDuel will refund you up to $1,000 back in site credit if you don't win. And that's promo code JNJ so they know we sent you J&J. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Colorado, Indiana, New Jersey, Virginia, or West Virginia. First online real money wager only. Minimum bet $10. Max bonus $200. Bonus issued is non-withdrawable site credit that expires in 14 days. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Let's talk about some actual athleticism. The sports highlight of the day for me that I sent you guys right before we started recording, but a dude jumping off of a building trying to commit suicide and a firefighter snatched him out of the air like he was a fucking fly ball. Like, I've never seen, like, that's genuinely like one of the most impressive things I've ever seen in my entire life, bro.
They actually planned it, though. Did you see how the other guy was leaning on his legs? Like, he was like, that was what was being attempted. That wasn't something that just happened at the moment. It was like,
right,
I'm gonna try to catch this motherfucker. Like, that is insane to me. You know what I mean? But I was amazed and moved. It's incredible.
Catching a grown ass person out of thin fucking air while they're dropping, you gotta be strong as fuck. That's a different type of strong, bro. I've never seen anything like that.
He could be a tight end in the NFL.
he probably could block the fuck out of somebody, though. You could catch a motherfucker midair, right? Bro. Right. I might believe he could be a tight end. Real
get
shit.
Tebow out of there, nigga.
He'd be better than Tebow, at least. I know that motherfucking much.
I was thinking exactly what John said, though. So his partner's holding his right leg, and he's sitting on his leg to keep him from going out the window with him. Mm-hmm. But I was thinking about, like, firefighters don't do that a lot, I'm assuming, because I feel like we'd see videos of it more often. So, like, imagine when you train for a job, like, the 150th most important thing they taught you was that. And you're like, I hope I remember how to hold this dude's leg right.
Right. Remember his second semester? 1998, you know what I mean? And that motherfucker did that shit, bro. He did that. Bro, and what's wild, like, these niggas, like, really save lives. Like, actually, pulling people out of buildings, grabbing people out of thin air, that is their entire life, dog. You know what I mean? We don't talk about firefighters enough. Honestly. Yeah,
like the old joke goes, you never heard anybody say, fuck the fire department.
Never.
You know what I mean?
Never.
You know, you hear fuck the police all the time, but you ain't never hear fuck the fire department. Yeah.
Real ones. That's
you
crazy.
Actually know they're going to get shit done when they show up. You know what I mean? When a fire truck or a fireman pulls up, they are going to leave, you know, and they're going to provide a solution to whatever the fuck they pulled up for.
And they're not weirdos. Like, I'll sit and talk to a firefighter. Like, I remember, like, there was, like, this big-ass, like, water leak or whatever. And I'm like, what are y'all doing? And he was sitting talking rap. He was cool as fuck. I never sit and talk to a police officer. They're fucking weirdos. You know what I mean? Police officers think they're firefighters. Like, isn't there,
like,
a beef
between?
Yeah. You said what?
Isn't there, like, a beef between firefighters and policemen and shit?
Oh yes.
Don't firefighters not like police?
Oh, so they said that. It's like, fuck the police too.
There is a real rivalry. Like, I know in New York, it's like they play, like, actual football. The NYPD and NYFD like tackle football. In Long Beach, there's a water polo game every year in the Bay between the police officers and the fire department. The fire department is filled with, like, former Division I water polo players from Long Beach. So they always fucking scrape that shit up. But yeah, no, that's always like I think it's, like, mostly friendly. But then if you get, like, if you're around a firefighter when they're drunk, it's not.
Yeah.
Some unfortunate truths from that guy.
What if he snatched his helmet off and it's an FTP hat on, like, under the nigga? I would have fell in love, nigga. I'm talking about, like, I'd have been old girl in 4 or 5 heartbeats, like, squirming in my seat, you know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Oh, beautiful man, you know what I'm saying? Sheesh.
John, can you please tee us up for a conversation about, sometimes on Twitter you just see an instant classic, and I feel like the James tweet qualifies as one of those instant classics, bro.
It's one of them things that is right there, and it's been right there your whole life.
Wait, read the tweet.
The tweet
so people know what you're talking about.
This guy jumped, he probably, like you said, like Mike said this before, like, the guy that probably didn't know what he had, you know, when he said it, he probably didn't know he had that heater coming, but it caught me, like, it, like, slapped me in my face. You feel me? Niggas be named James and it be one nigga. I'm calling James James from James, here on out.
You are a James.
It's been right there the whole time. And we never said anything. Why is James plural? Why is a nigga's name plural? You are James. Okay,
James. You are James. You are Charles. You are, from here on out, you are James. You are Charles.
What if my name was Johns? Well, what type of sense does that make?
Johns Hopkins. Isn't Johns Hopkins? I look at that shit all the time. Like, why the fuck do you have that S on your name, John?
Niggas always adding the S to shit, bro. And I'm gonna fall for that too.
I'm one of them niggas.
I'll be adding S's to shit, but not this time. We draw the line at James.
We're taking the S's back.
We're taking the S's back.
We taking that motherfucking S off of Sonic, off of Sonic, and off of JCPenney. And we
Aldi's right. Is Aldi. I'll always say Aldi's. You know what I mean? Like, come on, bro. Pennies. I ain't at Pennies though. I don't even reference that name. When's the last time you went to a JCPenney's, bro?
Shit, like third grade.
The smell literally gives me a headache.
Yeah. I was never happy to go to JCPenney. I knew, like, my mom was gonna buy me some bullshit out of there. Like, I knew I was not coming out there.
You were coming out of there with Chaps Ralph Lauren. not right, Ralph Lauren.
What was that? Arizona jeans.
Arizona jeans. And them shits was like purple and like turquoise mix. They had the most colorful ass denim. Why do I need mustard denim? I don't need mustard jeans. You know what I mean? Why are you making these? Anyway.
So in Long Beach, the elementary school kids wear uniforms. And so I remember we took Vincent to Old Navy to get his uniform shit. Because all the, you know, the store is all stocked because all the kids have to buy it. And he was kind of complaining about being in there. And I almost gave him the, full, when I was your age, I was just like, you're in Old Navy right now, bro.
Nigga, I was shopping at Sears, nigga.
Yeah, you didn't have to go up an escalator to get to this fucking store. There's a bookstore right next to it. Like, you know what I mean? Calm the fuck down.
My jeans were sold next to a dishwasher, nigga.
It was a weight set. A weight set. That's where I got my Arizona jeans.
You feel me? Like, nigga, dog. Don't be, you can't talk shit. You know what I'm saying? Golly. Sheesh.
All right. Last but not least.
Jeans were sold next to a Bowflex, nigga. And you complain about Old Navy, motherfucker. Nigga was doing sit-ups right next to my shit, nigga. Whole ass fit smell like rubber, motherfucker. You talking about some Old Navy? Fuck out of here, nigga.
My shits were right next to the basketball goals, nigga. I was getting shots up while they was looking for my size, nigga.
Hey, motherfucker.
You got the nerve.
Right. Ball above life, motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? Shit. God damn.
Oh, Jesus. John, I wanted to talk about your tooth.
Oh, the gold.
Yes, the gold.
Yes. Tyler, did you know I had one?
Hell no. What the fuck?
I got a little gangster gold, an open face, okay. And then a fang, and I got them on both sides. So like the up, top and the bottom. Bro, like I've been wanting a fucking, like I wanted like a bottom grill for a while, but I can't have the whole, you know, six bottom joints at my big age. That's how I feel. So I got a little cute joint, and it's familiar, like it's like tradition. My granddad had open faces. A picture of him as a firefighter, real nigga, and a fro, and he got like ice frozen on his beard, and he's drinking coffee, and he has like a open face gold. My dad had one too, so it's like, yo, man, I'm just continuing.
You're getting ready to have the next generation.
Right.
In his time, that's beautiful.
I'm leading in the tradition right now. So yeah. Open face goes. That's what we on right now, G.
Yeah, I feel like the open faces definitely have no age limit, but like the whole grills, you kind of age out of that after a while. Because I definitely wanted like a platinum motherfucking, you know, low grill back in my day. But open face, yeah, that should sound like the move now.
I'll be on the golf course with that motherfucker today, smiling at white people with my Air Max and my Swish pants on. You feel me?
I like that you framed it like how people who want a tattoo, but they don't really want to be tattoo people. They just get the little shit on their forearm. You know what I mean? Like that. I like how you framed it like that. You're like, I'm just dipping my toe in.
Right. We get, you know, a little, you know what I'm saying? I ain't jumping all the way. I'm not sawing my shit down and getting the whole front. You feel me? I am getting a neck tat though. A little rose behind my ear. So we. Rob looking at me all crazy. She like, are we? Are we getting a neck tat? We are getting a neck tat. Yes, I'm getting a little neck tat. So we venturing out a little bit.
I would love to have that conversation in your household on the podcast, but we look at you. That's probably not for the best.
I wonder how we'll feel when we pull up to the in-laws. How you doing? What is that? While I'm banging samosas and shit. Anyway.
Oh, shit. I have a gold molar, but I got it because it was cheaper than the porcelain one. So I was not making any kind of a statement. We just didn't have any money.
Gold? Gold is cheaper than... You don't have the silver option either?
the silver option didn't last as long. So the way my dentist put it was like this, because I had my tooth fell apart. It basically exploded. Like it was, there was a fucking mortar in there. Like yeah, I've been into a Mento and I hadn't been to a dentist. This is right after college. I hadn't been to a dentist in like 5 years. I've been into a Mento.
Fucking Mento. Not Mentos.
It was one Mento.
One Mento.
Charles. I bought it at Ralph.
That S changes shit. We need the S's. A James and a James is a totally different nigga, dog. You know what I mean?
I like Charles, though. I like Charles.
Charles cool. I fuck with a Charles. You know what I mean? Because a Charles is kind of a dry nigga. You know what I mean? Like, you know, Charles is the updated version of a Charles, it seems like. You know what I mean? But a James ain't no saving a James, dog.
So the dentist told me that the gold tooth was the cheapest option, that it would be the longest before I had to replace it. And we didn't have any money at the time. So I was like, okay, cool. And then I was like, okay. And then I get like a stolen valor on having a gold tooth, because I have to open my mouth and look up for you to see it.
Okay. Okay.
But it's in there.
Yo, I want to talk about Charles a little bit more. I'm sorry. Charles, when we were in high, or like middle school, it was a decent name, right? Like there were cool Charles in middle school, right? Were there cool Charles in high school though?
Did the Charles fully grow into their Charles form in their
I'm really, because maybe that was the point, like between middle school and high school, where like Charles wasn't a cool name anymore. So I imagine there were some cool niggas named Charles in the 70s in high school and even in college. Mm-hmm. You feel me? But like, did we see the Charles, like, you know what I'm saying, fall off? Did we witness that shit?
Did we witness the death of the Charles?
I know one cool Charles who's like our age, but he goes by Cash. I sent you guys
a picture. Of course he goes by Cash.
Yeah, yeah, for sure.
Of course, nigga.
He doesn't go by Charles. He's not a Charles. Actually, he doesn't even go by Charles. When people use his quote-unquote real name, they call him Chuck.
Bro, so he ain't a...
He was like, I'm putting Charles.
He never been a Charles, nigga. He was just named Charles. You know what I mean? But most niggas, most Charles-ass niggas, I had some cool Charles. Like, I knew a couple cool Charles in like two or three in middle school. But in high school, I didn't know anything. Like, them niggas weren't, you know, they were like felines, you know what I mean? Like, they was cool in middle school for a little bit, you know what I mean? When nobody rocking them in high school, you feel what I'm saying? Like, dog, I don't know, man. I wonder if we witnessed it.
That was it.
You know we're going to get like fucking... We're gonna get like fucking 15 Charleses hitting us up,
right?
After they hear this shit.
And you might be a cool Charles if you're listening. I'm not mad at it, but hit us up, please do. Let us know that there's still real ones named Charles, because I'm truly wondering this shit.
But which gonna put you in the uncomfortable position of having to inform people of whether they're correct or not.
I'm not gonna be judged in that situation.
There's a Charles that I follow on Twitter. Now, there's a Charles that I follow on Twitter now. Think about it. And his Twitter name is Charles from Work. So I feel like he's leaning all the way into being a Charles with that.
Charles from Work?
Charles from Work.
So he might actually be cool, though. That's probably a cool Charles.
Yeah.
Charles from Work. You feel cool, me? That might be cool. We know Bad Luck Chuck.
Oh, yeah, fucking Chuck.
Yeah, yeah, so.
He goes by Chuck. He's not Bad Snarls Charles. Like.
What? Okay. True, okay. He's not Bad Snarls Charles.
He's not.
He's not. That is a fact.
That's a fact.
I appreciate it.
All right. That's all we got time for today. We'll be back on Thursday with Tenable versus Untenable. We might maybe we'll find out some new white celebrities aren't bathing. Kinds of exciting things.
Can we start a book club or like a movie club or something? Like, I'm all the way in.
What are you reading right now? I'm reading Other Sons again?
I didn't all the way get into it the first time. You feel me? Like, you
fucked up. And we just had Tyler on, but he loved that shit. Chelsea, who I know has been fucking with the podcast forever, read it. We were talking about it on Twitter too. I love that's like I think that's probably the best nonfiction book I've ever read.
I didn't like, I mean, I'm saying I never got, like, I didn't really start it. Like, I read, yeah, like, you know what I'm saying? And I move on to something else, but like, now I'm into it. Like, I got high yesterday and was reading it while high because I was like, I don't want to watch TV. I want to read this. You know what I mean? Like,
I cried in the first 10 pages of reading that book.
I see.
Because it's so beautifully written. And I feel like it's the first thing that I had read that was about every Black person that I knew. Because you read shit that's just about the inner city, or you read shit that's just about like college educated, suburban, right, Black people or whatever. And this was like, this is the missing chapter in everything you heard about the country of like, Black people were all in the South for the fucking obvious reasons. Yeah. And I grew up on the West Coast in a city with Black people. Like, this is how that happened. And you start reading into, like, I've been doing research in Long Beach about that. Like, the book's about, for people who don't know, the Great Migration of, mm-hmm, Black people leaving the South. And it's like literally explaining how Detroit ended up being such a Black city because Chicago, of a specific New York, train line.
Right, right.
You know what I mean? And that you could literally trace, like, these people came from Alabama because there was a train line that went from, mm-hmm, there to Chicago or like whatever else. It's crazy. I feel like for you being from St. Louis, you're going to find a bunch of that too.
Right, right, right. To me, when I'm reading it, it's like, she's just painting pictures, bro. You know what I'm saying? She's just painting pictures. Like, the way she writes is so beautiful, but like, yeah, it's really moving. And it's like, I find myself a lot of times, like, I know what went on in the past, but she gets so deep into the crevices of how, like, shitty the system was. Talking about the caste system within, you know, Jim Crow and all that shit. You know what I mean? It's like, dog, it's like, wow, motherfuckers really went through this shit, bro. And we act like that's not going to affect. We're talking about the 1920s, nigga. That's 100 years ago. You know what I'm saying? Like, you think that shit's not going to affect the current time? Like, get the fuck out of here. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, things have changed so much in only 100 years, which is really like that in history. Like, that's crazy to me. But like, wow, like, it's such a good read, bro. She stuck her ankle in it. You feel me?
I'd love to do a book club or movie club or whatever. We'll talk about it in the group chat, and we'll tweet that out there for people. But yeah, let's get that going for sure, because it's summer.
It's time, bro. This we do.
We had a preseason football segment today,
bro.
We could throw some.
We've been doing book clubs for like the last 3 years. Yeah. You feel me? Like, this ain't, you know what I'm saying? Why not? Fuck it. It's time, bro.
All right, we'll discuss amongst ourselves and then tweet it out to everybody as well. But definitely come back on Thursday. Thank you for subscribing. Thank you for giving us 5 stars. Thanks for telling your friends. And we'll see you guys later. Bye.
Peace.
Bye.